plan.
Fantastic. Okay, so we'll just take a breath first of all.
All right.
So Troy, please tell us a little bit about how life was for you growing up here in the South and in the Chattanooga area.
Well, I'm from Knoxville originally. Not from Chattanooga. Hey, man, Knoxville, Tennessee. You know, we grew up. I had a my mom was a teacher. She was a coach at a HBCU, which is a historically black college and university. So while we didn't have much money, I did get to see a lot of heritage. I did get to see a lot of people who looked like me doing big things. Henceforth, you know, I'm really big on showing people what can be done, the possibilities anyway. Grew up athletic, played sports, you know, had some issues with my father, didn't want to really be home. So I kind of stayed away athletically. So I played every sport I could play, baseball, football, basketball, until leaving to come to Chattanooga. I came to Chattanooga to play athletics as well. But it didn't work out because I didn't have all my grades and everything taken care of. So I was ineligible. So, we called it Proposition 48, which was not having a high enough test score on the ACT. You know, that stopped, but I did continue my journey. I'm a teen father, had a baby, very, very young. So I'm a teenage father. So, you know, I had to, you know, I wasn't going to the NFL. So I had to realize, hey, really quick, I need to get a job and begin to support, you know, my child. So I did that and just been kind of working ever since. You know, Chattanooga's a different place, you know, and I have, you know, just been working. You know, I don't have a lot, but I'm thankful. I got a roof over my head and, you know, I got wife and children and they're doing okay. And, you know, I work at a, you know, I work, I'm able to serve people, which is my passion. So I'm able to do what I love to do on a daily basis. So that's a good thing. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell, you know, just trying to serve every day.
If we just go back to that young man growing up in Knoxville and coming through the college, what were his aspirations in life? What did he see was possible for him or not in life?
You know, my aspirations, I would say service. I would say helping people. My mother was a teacher and I would watch how she would take blankets and food and stuff to class and she would serve her students. And I was asked, like, Mama, why are you doing this? She was like, baby, they're hungry. You know, they don't have this, they don't have that. And it's hard for them to learn if they don't have what they need. So I saw service from my mom at a very, very young age. My mother is my hero because I watched how she, you know, fought for the family and didn't let us go down. I remember, you know, food stamp questions. She was like, hey, I'll just get another job. You know, I'll just do what I got to do. We're not going on food. We're not going down. And I just saw her work her way out of stuff. So, you know, but as a young guy, I thought, man, if I can work hard enough, right, if I can work hard enough, man, then I can make something. May not be rich, may not have everything that I need, but if I can work hard, I can get somewhere. And I just wanted to serve people. Like I said, I saw my mom do that as a teacher and a coach, and I wanted to do that as well.
And if we come forward to where you are today,
okay,
how easy or not is it for you to make significant changes in your life?
I mean, you know, change is inevitable, and it's tough. You know, a lot of times if I do an audit of myself every day. I look in the mirror and, hey, man, you know, I'm a process guy. So everything that I do, Rod, I want to do better. I want to make sure I always ask myself the tough questions. Even at work, when we have meetings, I say, hey, man, what is it that we can do better? Everything that we do, I want to know how we can do it better. So just being a process type of person, that is who I am. You know, like I said, I'm a hard worker. I'm not the smartest guy, you know, on the floor, and I ain't the most flashiest guy on the floor, but I believe with hard work and determination, I can catch up. You know, I have a saying that I say all the time is that you may be better than me, but you'll never outwork me. So anywhere I go, I want to bring that workman pale, that work pale atmosphere to the place. You know, we're gonna get it early. We'll stay late. We'll do whatever it is. You know, we'll come out the box. We'll come out our comfort zone. And you know that the enemy of success is being comfortable. So I try to live my life being uncomfortable. And that has, that has brought some success. Relationships are the new form of currency. So I really, really try my best to build strong relationships with people. Because people do things for people, Rob, because of relationships. Example is, me and David are friends. He told me that you was a good guy. That's all that I needed to hear. Because we're friends. And now me and you are going to be friends and build a relationship. And people are going to be blessed from our friendship. But it started from our relationship. It's the new form of currency. So I try to use that same thing at the city of Chattanooga. I try to build strong relationships so that I can get people to do things that they may have not done on their own.
Beautiful, Troy. I'd love to know how you see your experiences in life, and particularly your experiences around your ability to make choices and decisions and changes in your life, mm-hmm. would match that of other Americans.
Man, you know, I mean, I left home at 17 years old. I had to get it out the mud, made some bad decisions. In early in life, and I go so hard for the guys that I work with now, Rob, because I did some things. I just didn't get caught. Praise be to God for that. I'm no better than anybody else. I put my clothes on like everybody else, and I do wonder sometimes, God, why are you shining on me? I live by another quote that you'll inspire or you'll expire. You will inspire or you'll expire. So every day I want to inspire somebody to do better, because if I woke up in the morning, Ron, that means I got 24 hours to do something for somebody else. You tell the measure of a man by what he does for other people who cannot pay them back. During COVID, we were able to serve over 20,000 meals to the homeless, to the elderly. And it was just a thing where I was compelled to do it. I went down to the West Side community where I work. I worked for 10 years. When I graduated from UTC, I worked in the projects, in the housing projects, where, you know, low income young people are. I did that for 10 years. And I was able to learn a couple of things, Rod. And what I was able to learn was, one, that nobody is born bad. People make decisions based on the information that they're given, and sometimes the hand that they're dealt. If there's no fathers in the home, if there's nobody to show you how to correctly do it, then hey, I'll just do what I do. So I learned from that. I learned from that that you can teach people how to read. You can teach people how to respect people, because kids want to be taught. Kids are open slate. I wrote a couple of ebooks here recently about, one, looking at crime through a socioeconomic lens. And when I mean a socioeconomic lens, I mean the lens of poverty is one. The lens of untreated mental illness is two. The lens of no father in your home is three. And the lens of illiteracy is four. And those are those a lot of times when I speak to a young man, who's committed a violent crime, he is lacking one or all four of those issues. So that is how, you know, growing up, working in your early 20s, working in the projects, you know, where people tell you, oh man, all them cats ain't gonna be something, man. We were able to get a lot done in the 10 years I was there. A lot of guys have went on to go to college and do well. A lot of guys are entrepreneurs. Some guys went to prison. But I had to, as I told you earlier, I was able to build those relationships. And you can get a lot done when people trust you. And I think that education Even in college, you get a degree, but they don't teach you how to build relationships. You get a degree, Ron, and they don't teach you how to, you know, they teach you how to lesson plan, but they don't teach you how to deal with a young person who has some issues. And they don't teach you how to, they don't teach you that, understand that if you just listen, they'll tell you what's going on. And if you be available, you know, these cell phones that we have, if you answer these and you listen, you know, a lot of times they'll tell you what's going on. You know, God gave us one mouth and two ears, and that's for shut this thing up and open these up and they'll tell you. So I have been blessed by building relationships. I've been blessed by serving. I tell people all the time, give me the guys don't nobody want. I want to work with the young men don't nobody, that everybody done gave up on. Those are the guys that I want to work with. Because I always want to sharpen my axe and see, you know. So, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said before, my mom was great. And she exposed me to a lot of things. She exposed me, and I'm so thankful for that. Yes, she got on my nerves. Yes, she was on me about stuff. And yes, she was so, you know, nitpicky here and there. But every day that I grow older, I'm appreciative of that she was on me. You know, she put me around mentors. Nobody trying to molest me or touch me. And, you know, a lot of times now we put, you know, you put people around people, man, they trying to mess with the guys that you find out later that they touched them. And then when they're older and, you know, things are happening and traumatic issues happen, you find out that it was some sexual stuff going on. I thank God for my mom to put me around men who just wanted to pour into me. So that's what I've tried to do in my life.
That is great. Oh, just going to take a breath on that as well.
All right.
Yeah, well, it's I love the authenticity that you're speaking with, Troy.
Thank you.
I'd love to just ask you now about when you're making life changes or you're making decisions in your life, how important are others such as your family or your wife or sure. your peers when you're making decisions?
Well, I mean, it's very important. You know, I have a mentor, my pastor, Pastor Baron Ammons, who I run stuff off of. You know, I got my wife who I've been married for 23 years now, you know, and the blessing, you know, I got married very early in my life. And man, you know, I struggled for years because we were different. And it didn't get until maybe 10 years, Ron, that I began to just thank God for her differences. I'm happy that we're not like each other, because I would run us into a ditch. And, you know, now that, you know, we've been married, you know, my wife doesn't see things the way I see it. But I appreciate that now, as I had to mature as a man, I had to grow, you know. So, yeah, you know, my pastor's one, my wife. My friends, I have a, you know, my circle's small, but I do have close friends that I run stuff off of, and they do the same to me. And that's how I make decisions. You know, as a leader, you don't make decisions based on what's going to benefit you, but you make decisions what's going to be benefit others. So anything that I would do would be the benefit of my wife and kids. So, you know, I don't look at my, I try to take myself out the equation and see how my life would benefit others. So I learned that at a very young age, that leadership is influence, and that's how I kind of look at it. So yeah, you know, I may run some stuff across David. David, what you think, bro? You know, what's going on? How you feeling on it? And to be totally transparent from a white guy's point of view, sometimes I want to see what it is. I want to hear that. I want to hear the difference. You know, I want to see. You know, I just want. I like range, and I think as I get older, range is okay. You know, as long as, you know, because my way is not the right way all the time. I don't have all the answers, and I don't want for people to think that I do. But I do want to always, you know, keep my friends and my close people in the loop on what's going on with me.
I'd love to expand on this a little bit with okay. my next question. And it's really around what's your perspective of how other cultures and other cultural groups make choices compared to the way you do?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of times, man, it's based on what you have. You know, if you live in Chattanooga, you know, this is a white ran town, very rich, in history, you know, and you know, I as I've grown older, I tell people all the time, man, you know, you know, for guys as yourself and myself and David, I tell them to use that white privilege that you have. Use that privilege to help somebody. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing if we're trying to use it to build a longer table and bring people that don't look like us in and have good conversation. You know, let's just be totally transparent. A lot of things that, you know, a lot of wealth and a lot of things in this, you know, in the early, late 1800s and early 1900s, you know, it was what it was. You know, just because of the way I look, I was not privy to certain things. You know, my mom and my family, you know, we wasn't privy to certain things because of the way we looked. Even growing up, Rod, hey, my mama said, hey, you know, you got to be 2 times better. You better be on time. You better have your stuff in a row. You better be willing to, you better be willing to do what others won't, because the way you look, son, you're already behind the eight ball. And I never understood that till I got older, until I got to Chattanooga and began to understand that a lot of times, you know, wealth and things like that, man, it's here. You know, there is no middle class in Chattanooga. Either you got it or you don't. And that middle ground, you know, I don't know. We're trying to catch it up with gentrification, with redlining and things like that. Man, it's rough here because the wealth gap is so marginalized. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, and I don't know if apartheid would be the word, but, you know, people are in certain cliques and pockets here. And it's hard sometimes to get it, you know, to get anything done.
Thank you. That needed to be said. Yeah. But again, building on top of that, what do you see are your biggest challenges with making changes in your life?
Man, you know, as I get older, not wanting to be wrong. You know, I'm in the 40s. I'm in my 40s now. So, you know, brother, I don't want to work till I'm 100. So to me, making the right decision. You know, I don't want to be, and I don't want to be doing anything that I'm not passionate about at this age. Even if I got to lose money, I want to be in purpose and in passion. And at this age in my life, you know, early 20s, I had to work 2 jobs to make it go, because I didn't make much money. When you're in the criminal justice field and when you're in the service field, they just don't pay. They don't pay. And you know, you got student loans, you got IRS debt, you got all these federal debt that you're dealing with, and you're trying to maintain a house, you know, and working a job, man, it just ain't a lot left when the bills are paid. So, you know, just making that decision so that I can continue to impact and serve people. Because I want to make the guys that I impact, I want them to be better than me. And if, in order for me to be better than me, I've got to spend time and build that relationship so that it can be. We talk about the relationship being a new form of currency. You have to spend that time to be able to do that. So I want to be in a place where I can really be effective. And that is spending time building relationships, serving and taking people with me along to show them how to do it.
Stand here now, we're coming to conversation. If we look back to that young man, mm-hmm. right at the beginning of life, and his mum's working in the university, and he's starting things out, what might be your advice from this place to that young man about decisions he might make in his life that would make a difference?
I would say, it's a great question. Follow your dreams. Follow your passions all the way out. Don't let anybody tell you. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do something. Don't, just cause somebody may tell you no, that doesn't mean that you need to turn around. You continue to knock. So I would tell myself to follow that dream. If it was to be a football coach or a lawyer, don't let anything or anyone stop you. A lot of times, no's are in the way just because they want you to find a better way to get a yes. In my life, Rod, I've let some people stop me or tell me no, and instead of me continuing to push, I turned around and did something else instead of continuing to push to get what it is that I wanted to do. My goal in life was to be a football coach, a head football coach somewhere. And when I did it a little bit out of college, but I got a bunch of no's and I kind of didn't push through it. I should have pushed through that. So I would tell my younger self that no, don't let anybody or no one stop you from doing it, what it is that you want to do. No matter how many no's you get, continue till you find that yes.
Wow. I love it. So that's the end of our interview time together. I'm just going to stop the recording there.
Okay.
Kimura, this was amazing. This was just fantastic. This is exactly what I wanted to kind of put.